You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We got three games to recap and no time to lose. The Sacramento Kings finished their four-game homestand 3-1. Should have been 4-0 had they held on to their 28-point lead against the Brooklyn Nets, but no matter, that's behind us. And the Kings last night begin their final long road trip of the season, a five-game road trip that tipped off in L.A., the Staples Center, against the Los Angeles Lakers. Second night of a back-to-back, and the Kings unfortunately fell short against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about all three of these games that have taken place since our last podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Locked On Kings, your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, this is the place for you, especially if you call yourself a diehard Sacramento Kings fan like the rest of our fantastic community. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, this is a podcast network that continues to grow every single day. We just launched the Locked On MLB channel, and a lot of Locked On local MLB shows are coming here to the Locked On Podcast Network. If you're an Oakland A's fan, there's Locked On A's. If you're a Giants fan, there's Locked On Giants. There's just so much out there for you to enjoy as a sports fan all year long. And just because certain sports are out of season doesn't mean the podcast is going to be out of season. Locked On Kings carries on throughout the entire year. So once we get to playoffs, even if the Kings aren't in it, Locked On Kings will still have Kings coverage and playoff coverage for you. We have the Locked On NBA Draft Lottery coverage. We have the NBA Draft coverage. We have free agency. We have training camp. We have it all year round. So welcome in. I'm glad you're here if you're new. And those of you who are returning, welcome back. It's a pleasure to have you. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on Sports 1140, or I'm from Sports 1140 KCK, rather. That's the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. I was at every game of this four-game homestand. I was at the Kings' win over the Mavericks on Thursday. I was at the Kings' win over the Suns on Saturday. Didn't take the trip to L.A. To watch the Kings lose in the Staples Center to the Los Angeles Lakers, but ultimately, It's a fun gig. It's a good job, and I know many of you have gotten the opportunity to attend a handful, if not every, Kings game this season inside the Golden 1 Center, like myself. I've gotten the opportunity to meet so many of you out there, and I'm so thankful for that, so appreciative of that. My ratio is pretty good. I meet like one to two of you a game almost, so I'm really humbled by the amount of you that choose to listen to the Locked On Kings podcast, the amount of you that are active parts of this fan base. I've met so many of you that have come in this season from around the world. I've met fans from Australia, fans from Brazil, fans from Canada. It's incredible the reach that this Sacramento Kings franchise has, and any of you who are international or local, if you're right down the street, all the way to all on the other side of the world, if you take the time to listen to Locked On Kings, not just for me, but for this Kings franchise in general, you are what makes this fan base just so fantastic. I grew up a part of this fan base. For those of you that don't know, I was a diehard Kings fan growing up from the age of six all the way through until I got a job actually covering the Kings with KHDK coming out of college, and it's been a fun ride ever since. But you know what they say? They say never cover your favorite team, because it'll make you want to pull your hair out. You have to go against some of your better judgment or some of your instincts. My instincts after Kings losses are always to be frustrated or upset. My instincts after Kings wins are always to be ecstatic. You can't cheer in the press box, which is one of the most difficult things for me. I have to have my fists clenched underneath the table at times, especially when, for example, Bogdan Bogdanovic hit that step-back game winner over the Los Angeles Lakers. I had to sit there with a stoic face and not make or show any emotion or make any kind of jump or anything like that, which is very difficult to do, I tell you what. So sometimes I miss the days of being able to sit there and scream and yell and holler, but I get all that out of my system at Oakland A's games anyway, which, holy crap, baseball season is starting this week. Can you believe it? We're already at the end of March, and the Kings are now under 500 again. They're 36-37 on the season, so that's disappointing, but they're trying to get above 40 wins, which I think they can do. They're trying to end the season around 500, which I think they could do. Hell, I would have taken 400 at the beginning of the season, wouldn't you? But this team is pushing 500 this year, which is fantastic. Still, technically, playoff hopes are alive, but I think we know that's not going to be the case this year. Had they won last night and had the Spurs lost to the Celtics in Boston, the Celtics haven't done the Kings any favors over this last 3 weeks to a month, because the Celtics have taken on a lot of Kings opponents teams that are above the Kings in the standings, especially on their home floor, and lost. It's blowing my mind. It's frustrating me. I know it's frustrating a lot of fans. But had the Kings won last night and the Spurs lost, the Kings would have been within 4.5, 5.5 games, something like that, of the 8th seed. So it would have still been possible. I tell you what's strange, and I tweeted this out over the weekend. If you go to NBA.com or ESPN.com or wherever you go to look at the NBA standings, every team beneath the Kings has been eliminated from playoff contention. The Kings are still a ways back of the Spurs in the 8th spot, so it's only a matter of time before the Kings themselves will be eliminated. But to see the Kings as the last team in the West that will be eliminated from the playoff contention, to me, is a perfect example of where this team has gone and how much they have grown this season. I mean, it's not an envious position. Being the bubble team in any conference sucks. If anybody's a poker player and has played a poker tournament, you know you work for hours upon hours upon hours to try and stay afloat. You get to one elimination away from being guaranteed in the money to make money, and you lose and you're knocked out and you lose everything. So you worked all of that and you don't get the prize at the end. Kind of a similar situation with the Kings. They've worked super hard this year. They've had multiple opportunities to make runs at the playoffs, have been in the playoff picture really since the beginning of the season. And then things have just fallen out, and unfortunately they're just going to miss out like the Denver Nuggets did last year. So I know the Kings are hoping to be next year's Denver Nuggets team, which would certainly be fantastic for us here in Sacramento. But the fact that the Kings are the last team in the West to be eliminated, and they're going to be the last team in the West to be eliminated, and that's above the Lakers, that's above the Timberwolves, that's above the Pelicans, who we thought was going to be fantastic this year. Remember the start that they got off to? Now, of course, the Anthony Davis saga and everything going on there. But just to see the Kings above all those teams, in that 9th spot, still fighting to the end of March for a chance at the playoffs, is as much tangible growth and as a perfect representation of the development of this team, in my opinion, that you're ever going to see. But let's talk about these three games that the Kings have played since we last recorded a podcast. It was the Kings and Dallas Mavericks on Thursday night, and then the Kings and Suns on Saturday, Kings and Lakers on Sunday, and we'll start here with the Kings and Mavericks. And of course, this game had an extra little flair to it, didn't it? Well, two reasons. One, Kings were coming off of that brutal loss to the Brooklyn Nets, so they were looking for a little bit of redemption there. And two, it was the first time we were seeing Luka Doncic in Sacramento. Now, you know Luka Doncic has been a hot topic issue and a hot topic for debate in Sacramento really since the beginning of time, it feels like. But since the Kings upgraded to the number two spot in the draft lottery, a lot of fans threw their heart, their soul, their money, their pride at Luka Doncic, and when the Kings passed on him and elected to take Marvin Bagley, it broke many hearts and sent many pitchforks and torches aflame, as some fans wanted to run Vlade and run the Kings out of town for missing on a surefire superstar. And, well, he sure looks like a superstar based off of how he's played this year. He's been a fantastic rookie, for sure. Will win Rookie of the Year, although Trae Young is making a decent case for himself here in the back half of the season. I don't think it's going to be enough. Luka's been fantastic all season long. And me, personally, I was extremely fired up to see Luka play live. You've seen all these videos, all these highlights of what he can do. I know it stings for some people. For me, it made me happy. I enjoy it. I think it's fantastic for the game of basketball. I think it's fantastic for the NBA that you have European prospects that are as young as Luka coming out of the European pro scene, coming to the NBA and taking the world by storm like they are and like he is. To me, that only makes the game better. That opens up our eyes even more to the amount of talent that's over there in Europe. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on what's going on over there, but there is a lot of talent in Europe, and we've seen big names come through every now and then, including a guy that we saw in Sacramento for probably the last time, Dirk Nowitzki from Germany, Bogdan Bogdanovic for the Sacramento Kings, Peja Stojanovic, Vlade Divac for the Sacramento Kings. There's so many names. Manu Ginobili. A lot of great players have come out of Europe. Luka is the next piece in that regime, and hopefully he opens the door even wider for many more like him to follow suit and make their way into successful and fun NBA careers. But I was very excited to see Luka Doncic play. But of course, Marvin Bagley playing? I'm hoping Marvin Bagley shows Luka up. I know Marvin's not starting. I know Luka is. I'm expecting Luka to have a good night. I actually want Luka to have a good night because I think it's more entertaining and entertainment value is there. And I know I pissed off a lot of Kings fans by saying that I actually enjoyed the result and the ending of the Kings and Brooklyn Nets game more than had the Kings won in blowout fashion. I prefer close games. I prefer drama. And being able to see D'Angelo Russell and the Brooklyn Nets battle back and end up stealing that game at the end, to me, was 10 times more entertaining than had the Kings run away with a 28-point victory. That's just me. I know I'm in the minority there when it comes to Kings fans here in Sacramento. But I wanted to see Luka Doncic go off, and I wasn't afraid of him going off because I knew that the Kings could still beat the Mavericks with Luka going off because they don't have really anybody else right now. Of course, they have Kristaps Porzingis, but he is hurt, and he is not going to be playing till next season, which I'm super excited about. Tim Hardaway Jr. has been shut down, so nothing there. I mean, the main name you really had to be worried about other than Dirk Nowitzki was Justin Jackson, and Justin Jackson actually had himself a good game coming back and returning to Sacramento, had 19 points on 9-16 shooting, went 1-6 from three-point range, so he didn't kill the Kings, but he led the Mavericks in scoring. And if we're being completely honest, guys, Luka Doncic was not good in this game. He was not good. He shot 19 shots, went 4 of 19, 2 of 10 from three-point range. He didn't have 10 rebounds. So, still managed to get a double-double with 13 points and 10 rebounds, but it was a very inefficient double-double for Luka. Only played 26 minutes, though, and we know that the Dallas Mavericks are not entirely interested in winning. I mean, they need to have a top-five pick if they want to hold on to their draft pick this year. If not, then it goes to the Atlanta Hawks as the final piece of that deal that landed them Luka. They traded Trae Young and a first-round pick, top five protected for this year's draft, to the Hawks for Luka Doncic. So the Hawks would basically lock Luka up for them. But Luka wasn't good. It was disappointing. He just didn't have that good of a night. And, I mean, that can be expected. He's a rookie. He's not going to go off every single night. And the very next night, or the very next game that they play, the Dallas Mavericks smacked the Golden State Warriors in Oracle Arena, and Luka Doncic had a triple-double. Dirk Nowitzki also went for 20-plus points in that game, and he only had 3 points against the Kings in 12 minutes off the bench. So it wasn't a great night for the Dallas Mavericks. The Kings won. They're now 2-0 against the Mavericks. They have one more meeting with them. And Marvin Bagley completely outplayed Luka and completely outplayed everybody off of the Kings bench. 8 of 16 from the field, 22 points. He went 3 of 5 from three-point range, and we're going to be talking a little bit today about Marvin Bagley's three-point shot because you'll notice that's consistent through these three games we talk about, which is fantastic. He also had 12 rebounds. So 22 points, 12 rebounds off the bench for Marvin Bagley. He completely outplayed Luka. Now, I tweeted something out, and yes, there was a veiled shot in there, and that was the point. My Kings Don't Need Luka song that I put out, the Kings Don't Need Luka take, it's all a veiled shot. Of course the Kings could use and would want to have Luka Doncic on this team. But that's not to say that they're not happy with Marvin Bagley. And Coach Jaeger has said it, Vlade has said it, and it's time fans start believing it. The Sacramento Kings believe they got the best player in the draft. And based off the way he's been playing for the last month, I'd say they have a legitimate case. Marvin Bagley has been playing excellent for the Kings off the bench. He's developing by the game. He now has a three-point shot that is starting to fall consistently, at least over the last week and a half. Now, Luka Doncic is going to win Rookie of the Year, and that's great, and that's fine. I had a lot of Dallas Mavericks fans coming at me on Twitter saying, hey, Luka's had one bad game. Marvin Bagley's not that much better than him. Luka's going to win Rookie of the Year. Luka's a surefire superstar, historic numbers. And I get it. Like, I understand. He's fantastic. He's great. But the bottom line is, and this is what I said in the song, if you listen to it, and you can find it right now on YouTube, khdk.com, go to my Twitter. It's pinned on my Twitter. I said in the song, both teams are happy with their guys. Both teams are thrilled with how everything played out. The NBA is in a better place for both Marvin Bagley and Luka Doncic being good. DeAndre Ayton's still pretty good with the Phoenix Suns, even though they've been massively underperforming this year. Oh yeah, and Trae Young's balling in Atlanta. Like, the NBA is in a great spot right now in terms of rookie talent. But the Kings honestly believe they got the best guy. And he's playing like it over the last month. And he played like it against Luka and the Mavericks. who aren't a good team, by the way. I mean, Luka's a phenomenal player, and he's doing everything he can to keep that team afloat. They have 28 wins, or they had 28 wins following the Kings, or the loss to the Kings. They now have 29. They would have 15 without Luka. Maybe 15. Luka's a superstar, and I'm so excited to see how he develops and how he continues to go. And I know if there are some Dallas Mavericks fans that are tuning in just to hear what I have to say and yell at me on social media, hi, it's great to talk to you. But chill out. Of course, the Kings, any team would want and need Luka Doncic. It's a joke. My take that the Kings don't need Luka Doncic is a joke, just so we put it out there as clear as day. But what isn't a joke is that the Kings believe they got the best player and they are 100% happy with Marvin Bagley, and they don't regret passing on Luka Doncic for a second. And I don't either. If you do, all right, that's on you. But based off of the way that Marvin Bagley's been playing, that certainly is probably getting more and more difficult for you. Very difficult with the way Bagley is balling out right now. I should mention before we move on, Willie Cauley-Stein had his best rebounding game of the season and of his career, finished with 10 points and 18 rebounds. Why is that important? Because of what happened the very next game on Saturday night against the Phoenix Suns. So the Kings get the win on Thursday against the Mavericks and are looking to get back at 500 as they host the Phoenix Suns on Saturday night. Final game of the four-game home stand, looking to make it 3-1, and also looking for a wee bit of revenge because the Suns kind of embarrassed the Kings the last time the two of them played in Phoenix. The Kings had a big lead and fell apart, and the Suns came back and stole it. Kind of similar to the Brooklyn Nets game, if we're going to be honest. So, Kings looking for a little bit of revenge there. They know they're the better team against the Phoenix Suns. The story in this game, actually coming into this game, was the fact that Jimmer Fredette was returning. Jimmer Fredette signing a two-year deal with the Suns. Now, the second year, I believe, is team option. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I love Jimmer. I've been a fan of Jimmer for the longest time, even though he was a bust and he didn't work out here in Sacramento, and I know a lot of fans are not happy with him because of that, or not happy with the Kings organization because of that. Which, by the way, he wasn't Vlade Divac's pick, so can we stop blaming Vlade and this current regime of front office for that? He wasn't even Pete D'Alessandro's pick. He was back with the Maloofs. He was back when the Kings were owned by the Maloofs and Jeff Petrie was their GM, and Jeff Petrie was basically doing what the Maloofs told him to do. So let's stop associating Jimmer Fredette with this regime of the Sacramento Kings, please. But I love Jimmer. I think he's a fantastic player. Well, he's a fantastic player to watch in terms of shooting the basketball. There's a reason why he hasn't stuck in the NBA, particularly on the defensive end of the floor. But to see him return, how hard he's been working in China, and the numbers that he's been putting up in China are pretty phenomenal. So I was glad he was back. Now, the Suns didn't do me any favors. They played him for only 4 minutes in the first half, and that was it. So, bummer. Shame on the Suns. You got to play him more than 4 minutes there. But the game was close, way too close, for the majority of the night. It looked like Devin Booker was going to have one of those nights, and he did finish with 32 points on 10 of 27 shooting, but he didn't miss in the first half. I mean, he was just lights out, spot on in that first half. But the man of the night was Buddy Hield, because Buddy Hield went 7 of 14 from three-point range. All he needed in this game was 3 three-pointers to pass Peja Stojakovic for the franchise record of threes in a single season. I said he did it done in the second quarter. He got it done in the second quarter, and he probably should have gotten done in the first quarter had he not been subbed out of the game. Buddy Hield is now the leader in franchise history for threes in a single season. Just the epitome of how great of a year it has been for Buddy Buckets. And I'm so thrilled, so excited, so proud of him. The jump that he's made, the growth that he's shown, how humble that he is. And one of my favorite things about Buddy Hield, other than his willingness to always talk to the media, win or lose, and how much of a leader he's actually become in that locker room, is that he recognizes the greatness of the history of this franchise. We asked him a couple of times about Peja Stojakovic's legacy and about passing Peja, and Buddy had some great things to say about that. He mentioned how much Peja meant to this franchise, how important Peja is to this franchise, and how amazing that was for him to break a record that Peja held for the Sacramento Kings, especially in just his third season in the NBA. But on top of that, Buddy Hield shared the relationship that he has with Peja, which I think is fantastic. Peja Stojakovic and Buddy have a friendly and fun rivalry. I mean, they work together in the training facility, they work together in practice, and Buddy Hield said specifically that Peja is the reason why his shot has gotten so much more consistent and his release has gotten a lot quicker. Having a quick release in the NBA, the best shooters in NBA history all have quick releases. Steph Curry, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Buddy Hield. Peja Stojakovic had a quick release as well, and Peja has helped Buddy develop that quick release, and that's the reason why he's done so much of a better job shooting threes and getting shots off the dribble. He's done so much better at creating his own shot and getting them up quickly before they can get blocked. And that's a lot of credit to that via Buddy himself. Buddy said it himself. A lot of credit for that goes to Peja. Now, he also said that the two of them talk smack to each other all the time, so he's going to have no problem talking smack to Peja now that he's broken his record, which I think is fantastic. Great relationship there. But congratulations to Buddy Hield. Very well deserved. It was an awesome moment. If you missed that moment, you can check it out right now on my Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. I retweeted a couple tweets of the actual shot itself, the ovation that the Kings fans inside the Golden 1 Center gave him when they recognized that he had broken the record during the next stoppage. It was pretty awesome. So go and check that out, and congratulations to Buddy Hield. Harrison Barnes also had a fantastic game, 25 points, went 5 of 8 from 3-point range, and this is the Harrison Barnes that we have been waiting for. Defensively, we knew he was great, and he was one of the big reasons why, I forgot to mention, he was one of the fantastic and amazing reasons why Luka Doncic had such a rough night. Luka had a hard time getting a shot off against his former teammate in Harrison Barnes. But Barnes is now hitting that 3-point shot consistently. And that's what he was brought into this team to do, play defense and stretch the floor. He's hitting threes, he's playing defense, he's staying out of the way of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley down low. And I think it's perfection. It's exactly what you want. If I'm the Kings, I'm doing everything in my power to talk him out of just taking that $25 million player option and trying to get him to sign a 4-year, $20 million a year contract. That's what I'm trying to do, because he fits the bill of everything you need, especially when he's knocking down that 3-point shot. So 25 points for Harrison Barnes, also had 6 rebounds, a couple of assists, and of course he's playing fantastic defense, did a much better job for the Kings against Devin Booker, who struggled in the second half. Decent game for Nemanja Bjelica, 13 points, had 17 rebounds, so good for Bjelica. Once again, Marvin Bagley playing fantastic off the bench. 16 points, 11 rebounds, another double-double for him. Only went 0 of 1 from 3-point range, though, so not his... Not his best night from three, but he didn't need to be lights out from three. He was battling with DeAndre Ayton down low, so it was good to see the number one and number two picks go at it. Kings won the game, as they should have. Bogey struggled again, only 6 points in 22 minutes, went 2 of 11 from the field. And I've seen more and more tweets starting to come out of Kings fans saying that the Kings should play Bogey less and should shut him down. And remember, Bogey was the best player on this Kings team last year, hands down. I think Bogey has had issues this season transitioning roles to, is he a primary ball handler or is he a primary scorer? The one area that the Kings get into most trouble with him specifically is over dribbling and getting stuck in isolation sets. And that's about 60% his fault and 40% his teammates' fault, because they need to move and help him out and bail him out and set a screen for him when he's stuck in those spots, in those positions. But there's no way you take Bogey's minutes away. Bogey's too valuable for this team going forward, today, yesterday, every day. You do not take opportunity away from Bogey, even though the majority of this season has been a struggle for him. But I'm not worried whatsoever. I think he'll get back to being just fine and working hard this summer. Willie Cauley-Stein, though, after a career-high 18 rebounds against the Dallas Mavericks, big ol' zero in nearly 18 minutes against the Suns. In 18 minutes of play, Willie Cauley-Stein finished with 3 points and 0 rebounds. Did have a blocked shot and a couple turnovers, but 0 points. Or I'm sorry, 0 rebounds from your starting center who's 7 feet tall. Inexcusable, man. And again, I've been the biggest defender of Willie Cauley-Stein that I can be, at least through the first half of this season. The second half, with the emergence of Marvin Bagley and the play of Harry Giles, who, by the way, he hurt himself, his leg buckled a little bit. He has a left thigh contusion, so he has not played. He didn't play against Phoenix, and he didn't play against the Lakers last night. But we're told he's going to be okay and will return on this road trip, so I'm not worried about that. No really need to talk about that anymore. But Willie Cauley-Stein, it feels like his tenure as a King is done. I don't know why the Kings would consider bringing him back. I don't know where the value is in bringing him back. They'll probably offer him the qualifying offer, but if any team, and there's going to be a team out there that takes a flyer that offers him $10, $11, $12 million a year, and if they do that, then the Kings should just happily wave goodbye. The future is already here on this team in Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley, and if you want to go out and get another center, there are some good names available in free agency this year, and we'll talk about that more on a different podcast. But zero rebounds for Willie Cauley-Stein is absolutely inexcusable, and the fact that he had 18 one night and the next night gets zero just speaks to his inconsistency that frustrates fans so much, and I get it. I understand it. It's disappointing because Willie has a crap ton of talent. He's very fun to watch when he's on. But he wasn't against the Suns, and luckily the Kings won the game, but they could have used a few rebounds from their starting center, and they just didn't get it. But the Kings did get the win, 112-103, got back to 500, 36-36 on the season, but it didn't last long. They went to L.A., went to Staples Center, LeBron James and the Lakers. Of course, every Kings fan on the planet wants the Kings to beat the Lakers. If they went 4-78 for the course of a season, but those four wins against the Lakers, Kings fans might be happy. But unfortunately, not going to happen as they lost in L.A. to the Lakers. Was an ugly game offensively for everybody not named Marvin Bagley for the Sacramento Kings. Bagley finished with 25 points in 36 minutes. Once again, another double-double for him. 25 points, 11 rebounds. Went 2 of 3 from 3-point range. Marvin Bagley is able to space the floor now, and it is a glorious, glorious thing. Running out of time here, so I'm going to have to speed through this game. We'll talk about this in more detail on to tomorrow's podcast. Also on tomorrow's podcast, I'm going to start talking about wish list items and things that I would like to see the Kings really try and address and work on this summer and in training camp before next season. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's podcast, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Only 10 points from Harrison Barnes in 32 minutes. Only 9 points from De'Aaron Fox. He had a rough night. 3 of 16 from the field. Buddy Hield finished with 18 points, but went 6 of 21 from the field. So it was really a rough night for the Kings' backcourt offensively, and the Kings go as far as that backcourt takes them. And had they shot better, Kings probably would have won this game. But they end up losing 111-106. Got 29 points from LeBron, 29 points from Kyle Kuzma, 17 from JaVale McGee. Also had 16 from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Just too much on the Lakers' side to deal with for the Kings, and the Kings just didn't get enough output from their big names. That's the reason why they lost this game. Had a chance to make it a game at the end after really an awful third quarter. They were outscored by the Lakers 39-28 in the third quarter. Lakers started the second half on a 14-0 run. And the Kings against the Pacific Division this year were bad. I think 4 wins total against the Pacific Division. And remember, they play every team in the Pacific Division. That's the Clippers, the Suns, the Lakers, and the Warriors. They play them 4 times a year. Of course, they went 0-4 against the Warriors, only beat the Lakers once, beat the Suns 3 times. I'm sorry, they beat the Lakers twice, didn't they? They must have, because they lost to the Clippers and the Warriors in all 4 games. So they beat the Lakers twice, beat the Suns. No, they beat the Suns 3 times and they beat the Lakers 1. How's math? Math sucks. So they beat the Suns 3 times, and they beat the Lakers once. Disappointing. You want them to go at least 500 against those 2 bad teams, and the Kings, quite frankly, were lucky to get that 1 win over the Lakers. So a rough year for the Kings in the Pacific Division. That's definitely something that they need to improve upon. Definitely something they need to improve upon. So again, on tomorrow's podcast, we'll discuss More in detail about this game, more in detail about Marvin Bagley establishing that outside shot, and then some early training camp wish list items that we really want to see these Kings work on during training camp and during this offseason. If you have anything you want to talk about, any questions you may have, anything you want to respond to from today's podcast, please do via Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. And that's not just after podcasts or specific podcast topics. You want to talk Kings, you want to talk sports in general, reach out to me at any time. Would love to get in touch with you and chat with you any chance that I get and any chance that we get to continue any sports or Kings-related conversation, I will certainly take. I will talk to you on tomorrow's podcast. Thank you so much for listening here today. My name is Matt George. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.